Well, you can't get a warmer welcome than that, and I thank you so very much. It is really a privilege to, when any time we're actually asked to come before the people of God to share his heart, because the amount of love that he has for you is just unrivaled. You just really can't grasp how deeply he loves you and how much he cares for you. Those songs, as you can see the words, they just speak to, you know, God having us engraved on his hand. I mean, just a tattoo of us and how much he loves us. You just can't get enough of talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he's not just infinite, but he's intimate. He's with us continuously and continually. And what I'd like to do before we get started is ask you guys to pray for me. And let's pray together that, Lord, anoint my mouth and let me be able to say the thoughts that you have for you people at this time, to encourage them, to bring them into a deeper revelation of who you are and who you have called them to be in association with you, the author of life. Lord, we pray that any spirits of distraction in the spirit set for the Holy Spirit is bound here so that we can hear clearly what you have to say to us, that we can come to a determination to act on what you have to say, to be prompt in obedience like Abraham, and like Jesus, and to be willing to do the things that you've called us to do because you only have good things for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Tonight we're going to talk about who do you say that I am? And before we go on to that, it's a subject that you really are pretty intimately familiar with. If Cora got an SMS, and the SMS said, you know what, I want you to show up on Saturday morning at 5 o'clock, downtown at the conference center, how would she answer? It would very much depend on who it's from, correct? If it's her MD, and her MD is saying, you know what, we're looking at who to retrench and who to promote, then Cora's going to be there, right? If it's from Sergio, she might not, who's just a friend, correct? So it really is important who... that we recognize who we're getting these messages from. Who's talking to us and about what. Because you see, with Jesus, we have an interesting mix. Because he's not just our MD, he's our general. He's our King of Kings. But guess what? He's also our friend. And it's very, very important for us to understand the capacity in which he's speaking to us at this time. And about the things he's speaking to us. Because what he wants is for us to be brought into a deeper and closer association with him. And that causes us, that forces us to really recognize him, not for who we think he is, but Theo, for who he is and the fullness of his majesty. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about an aspect of Jesus that is vitally important for us to understand. And that's his power, his majesty, his awe-inspiring breath of creation and dominion over the created universe. And what I hope to get you to realize tonight, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is that what he is calling you into, what he's calling me into, is a supernatural association where we will be reigning with him into millennia that are untold. But now is the time for us to get ready. Now is the time for us to acclimate our ear to his voice, so that we will be able to discharge the things that we can only discharge while we're in these bodies. So, Jenny, let's go ahead to the next slide. Jesus was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist. That's a fine answer. John the Baptist. Jesus says that no one else was like him. He was that exemplary a person. But Jesus is beyond that. That's not who Jesus is. And others said Elijah, a mighty prophet of God, who operated in power that in a sense predicted the power that Jesus was going to demonstrate while he walked the earth. But it wasn't Elijah, because Elijah ran from Jezebel and Jesus ran from no one. Then still others, Jeremiah, a prophet of God who was called from birth. But he questioned and doubted whether God really called him.
Jesus never had any doubt of who he was. So all these comparisons were noble and in some ways complimentary, but they fell short. Because Jesus goes on to say to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." You see, the thing about God is that you can't know him unless he reveals himself to you. He's a self-revealing God. That's the nature of eternity. That's the nature of infinity. To be infinite, it has to be revealed to you. It's beyond our ability to comprehend. But it's not beyond the ability of God to put in our lap and for us to grasp, because he wants you to understand the totality of his nature. So what he says is, this is something that flesh and blood couldn't reveal. So as you seek the Lord, the reason why he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit is so that you could hear things that he wants to say to you that people in their capacity of people can't actually say to you. There are things about you that your mother can't say to you because she just doesn't know. There are things that God has birthed in you that your father can't say to you because he just doesn't know. These are the things that God has to call forth from you. But they're in you. They've been planted in you for a plan. A plan for you to walk as an ambassador of God here on earth. So let's continue along this line of scripture. You see, when the Jews thought about the concept of Christ, they really were thinking of Messiah, which is the same term. It's a Jewish concept, and there's a lot bundled in that term. But the thing we're going to concentrate on right now is the fact that God sent a deliverer. And when you hear the word deliverer, it connotes two things. Deliverance from what, or deliverance from who? And tonight, we're going to see that one of the most unique things, actually, one of the most unique things that we actually see with Jesus in contrast to anyone in the Old Testament is that he ripped away the disguise of Satan. You see, before Jesus came, people operated in darkness. They didn't know who was dominating them. They didn't know why. But Jesus brought the kingdom of God into full force. He revealed it. And that's why when you actually see the term deliverance, it says a whole lot more than just simply deliverance. It shows you that there is another power, a parallel power, but an unequal power that holds sway in individuals' lives and in nations' lives. And what Jesus did is he ripped away the disguise so that we could see that this indeed was not a contest between equals. An equal kingdom of goodness versus evil. But that he operated in a plane that was unparalleled, where he reigned above the kingdom of darkness. And indeed, that kingdom of darkness was subject to him and was a servant to him. So part of what Theo actually was praying about earlier is really quite interesting and useful for you to know. And that is that once you step into the kingdom of the light and you're following the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and you're in obedience to what he tells you, there is nothing that Satan can do to you that is not personally authorized by God for your good, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. He, in his divine counsel, if you are walking in his will, and you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, he is purposing to use this to build you in his kingdom and to accomplish glory that could not be accomplished in any other way. Amen. That's the definition of love. Amen. You see, one day we're not going to be in these bodies. We will be cleaved to our Lord and Savior in his body, as his bride, as his wife. And he's using this time of challenges and difficulties deliberately to build into us what could not be built alone. And that is an understanding of how he will reign with us through eons. So he's getting us ready.
lovingly, tenderly, but deliberately. So, what this brings to mind is the fact that you have to remember in the Old Testament, this martial aspect of Jesus, this military aspect of Jesus, was documented in some of his titles, like Lord of the Angel Armies, or the Lord of Hosts, because he calls us to battle. Because he is determined that we are going to fulfill the original design that he had for us, which was to reign with him and have dominion over his created order. So when we get messages from this Lord, more than a message from a managing director, this is a message from a general. A loving general, but a general nevertheless, who says, my people, my beloved, my bride, I'm calling you into battles quite deliberately. And they are battles that you're going to win. Because I've sent you there armed with my Holy Spirit. I've sent you in armed with my word. And I am there and I have conquered already. And that this is a training exercise for you. So that you can rescue others and show forth my glory. So let's continue. And look at a demonstration of Jesus' overwhelming power. Mark 5. They came to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him, and he had his dwelling place in the tombs. And no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Let's stay here for a while. You're going to see in a few minutes that this man was positively writhing with demons. But it says when he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. I want you to hold that thought. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And shouting with a loud voice, he said, first off, the man was filled with demons. But here's the interesting thing about how God created us. He's not going to overcome your free will. And as demonically possessed as this man was, nothing could separate him from coming to Jesus. Did you notice when we were praying, I asked the Lord to bind any spirits that were not the Holy Spirit? This was quite deliberate because you know what? We need to be bringing in souls. And one of your jobs is to be interceding on behalf of people who are not saved. Because you have access to the throne room through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he hears what you have to say. We're going to go back to that in a minute. But the thing I want you to see here is that there's an interesting duality here. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed before him. That's the man. Now listen to this. And shouting with a loud voice, he said, what business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I implore you by God, do not torment me. Now the spirits are speaking. No longer the man is speaking. Notice the shift to plural. Notice he's saying, what business do we have with each other? And look at this. He recognizes Jesus as the Son of the Most High. Something that the disciples up to that point did not recognize. You see, the only people who don't recognize Jesus for who he is in his totality is you and me without Jesus and the revealing of the Holy Spirit. Satan knows full well who he is. The minions of Satan know full well who he is. And look at this. He goes on and says, I implore you by God, do not torment me. Does that sound like there's equality there? Do you implore an equal? No. He's begging. This demonic horde is begging because he recognizes who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And look, he also says, do not torment me. That speaks of judgment. Don't you think that things that are evil are going to be gotten away with here in this earthly realm? They're not. Sin is judged, and the agents of Satan will be judged. And they know it. They aren't deceived in that department. For he had been saying to him, come out of you, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he was asking, what is your name? And he said to him, my name is Legion, for we are many. At that time, Legion was a Roman regiment. That's what a legion was. And it could vary for anywhere between 3,000 and 6,000 foot soldiers. So that gives you an understanding of how infested this man was with demons. And he began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Another admission of superiority and dominion. Because if I can tell you, get out of here and pack up and leave, I have authority over you, do I not? That's what he's saying to these demons. Do you see that? And they're begging him. Begging. See, I don't get Satanists. I really don't. Well, at one level I understand it, but what they've decided to do is to serve a loser. Why would you devote your life to somebody who's already lost? Let's go on. Oh, earnestly, out of the country. Now there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby on the mountain. The demons implored him, send us into the swine so that we may enter them. Jesus gave them permission. Do you see the dominion? Permission. All right? And coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, 2,000 swine, and they were drowned in the sea. We were having a family devotion, and that's where this scripture came. And my daughter asked, so what was the point of him just having those demons kill all the swine? And I thought that was a good question. And I'm going to give you the answer that I gave her. Jesus wanted you to see what the swine wanted to do to the man. Kill, steal, destroy. Already he had him gnashing himself with rocks, living in tombs, mentally ill, alienated from family, running around without any clothes, breaking chains, trying to commit suicide. What held the man in this life? The mercy of God. Until deliverance came. To illustrate the power and dominion of God. For us today. But it was the full intention of those demons to destroy that man just as surely as it destroyed all the swine. So anyone who has decided to be part of the occult, that's your destiny. Total and utter destruction in the most painful way that Satan can envision for you. Their herdsmen ran away and reported it in the city and in the country. And the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind. The very man who had had the legion. Total deliverance. Mind, body, spirit. Total. Not a shred of legion. With one word. Come out. From the appropriate authority, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the same one who talks to you and talks to me through his word. And there he got unquestioned, immediate obedience. And they became frightened. In a sense, you would think and hope that if such a deliverance occurred here, we'd be happy. But these people became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine. And they began to implore him to leave their region. And why would they do that? Because pigs cost a lot of money. And 2,000 of them just got destroyed. And they're saying, take your deliverance to ministry out of here. We don't have time for that. We'll be bankrupt if we keep dealing with you, Jesus. Our commercial interests are more important than this man. Our money's more important. Now you take that. And you go back into Judea or Samaria or wherever else you want to go. But please, leave us alone. And aren't we like that in many ways? Jesus, let's not be too expensive. Do I really have to testify in front of these people? You know, it's not fashionable to be a Christian. If I let that be known, what's it going to cost me? I'm trying to get this contract. I don't have time for any Jesus right now. We can talk on Sunday. Yeah, I got a word of knowledge. Yeah, I hear the Holy Spirit telling me to speak into this person's life, but you know, what's that going to do with my reputation? Or with my reputation? Oh, I'll pray for him. I really don't want to say these things, because they're going to alienate people. How different are we? How different are we called to be? You see, Jesus knew that entire area would reject him. And rejection's not fun. It's not fun for anybody. Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. And the rejection pained him. But guess what? He made that journey to save that one man because he determined it was worth it. And guess what he did? He made the same journey for you and for me. Because guess what? We might not have actually been cutting ourselves, or maybe we could have. Who knows what spirits were upon us? Suicide or self-destruction? Drug abuse? Where do you think it's going? Alcoholism? Did you notice that nothing could actually break those chains? Nothing could actually hold that guy. He could break those chains, but he couldn't break out of that syndrome. What syndromes has God taken us out of that our money just couldn't? If we have looks that just couldn't help. Daddy couldn't help with his social connections. Mommy couldn't help. What deliverance in our lives has he wrought? And guess what? In some ways he knew that we wouldn't stand up and say it and testify. So we were the ones rejecting him, despite all the good he's given us. So, in many ways, that's really what the cross was about. The heaping up on Jesus, all the rejection, all the sin. You see, that's one of the interesting things that contemporary people are deceived by. They think sin's not going to be paid for. Look, there's punishment for sin. The question is, who's going to pay? It's got to be paid for. You know that saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch? There's no such thing as sin that won't be punished. God is holy. The question for you, the question for me is, do you think you really can pay it? No, you can't. When you start looking at that cross, you see what sin cost. To be beat like that. I mean, you talk about some sadistic people. That's what those centurions were about. They thought of things to do to people in a physical realm that were so reprehensible that we can't even imagine it now in the age of human rights. But the point is, somebody has to pay. And the deal is, either you're going to pay or Jesus is going to pay. And you're going to accept it. That's really the bottom line. Let's go on. The demonstration of Jesus' power, Jesus' triumph over Satan. I bring that out as a separate issue. And let me read it. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing them over them by the cross. With Legion, we actually saw one aspect of the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom. But quite honestly, it was the low level. It was demons. Satan is far above that demonic order. But guess what? As high as he is, and as powerful as he actually is, there's no doubt about that. What happened on the cross was far more than Jesus taking all our sins. What happened on the cross was a total obliteration of Satan. Publicly. You see that word triumph and public spectacle? Holy Spirit's telling us something there. The triumph was what the Romans gave conquering generals who conquered a particularly important province or country or nation decisively. What the Roman Senate would do is to say, this triumph is so significant that what we're going to do when you come back to Rome is give you this huge parade called the triumph. And what you're going to be able to do is parade the spoils of your victory in front of you. The nobility of that nation. The king, the queens of that nation will go before you in humiliation and brokenness in full recognition of what you have done to them, which is totally defeat them. And this is what happened on the cross. Jesus took Satan and all those fallen angels that went with him in rebellion, stole the keys of hell and death, and paraded them in front of the created order, the angelic hosts, the holy angel hosts, all of Satan's hosts, as broken, defeated foes. That's what happened on the cross. Don't you look at a cross and think that Jesus is dangling there, because he is not. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and this is what he did. And guess where you were? You're part of his body. You were with him in the chariot. He's your head, but you are part of his body. So he had you in the spirit realm parading as victor with him. Lord of the angel hosts. Lord of the angel army. Lord of hosts. Let's go on. Why doesn't the world see this? Well, scripture gives you an answer. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Two important things here. The God of this world, though broken and defeated, Satan still has dominion over those who have not accepted Jesus Christ. You may ask why. Because they haven't opted to make Jesus their Lord and Savior. And that's where you're different. And can be different. You and I, who are citizens of the kingdom of light, have an ability to operate without the oppression of Satan through the triumph of Jesus Christ. And guess what? We got work to do. It's not for self-indulgence. Our continuing role is both collective as a body of believers throughout the world and individual. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil still has schemes. And guess what? If you step outside God's will in terms of rebellion and disobedience, he can still get you. Your protection is actually walking in what God has purposed for you. His general will, and then he has specific will. And the devil schemes and waits and tries to get you outside of what his stated will is, God's stated will is for you. That's his plan. For our struggle, listen to this, is not against flesh and blood. So you know what? It's not your neighbor who's such a pain in the neck or your coworker. You're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're fighting against spirits, rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So guess what? You can't get pissed off at people and go raging. You can't. You have to... Pissed off's not a bad word. Sorry, Jesus. Okay. But you can't go raging. My daughter uses that one, so I'm sure it's okay. Okay, you can't. Your job is to be interceding. These people aren't in control of themselves. But you're supposed to be under the control of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay? You're an ambassador. So let's look at the power of our testimony, left behind to proclaim. And let's go back to Mark, because you know what? This, I think, is very interesting for us to be aware of and understand. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. He's imploring Jesus, saying, take me with you, right? But Jesus did not let him. But he said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you. Here's your answer to everyone who's just like I have, I believe, said, Lord, take me out of here. Okay, I've gotten saved. Now I'm ready to go home. He said, stay here. Because now you're going to be of value to me. Your job, Michael, your job, Theo, your job, Sergio, is to go home to your people and report to them what great things God has done. That's why you're still here. That's your job. You see, the Father has a great big house. He has a lot of rooms in it, and he wants them filled with people who are your brothers and sisters that you just don't know yet. You ever have a friend, somebody you meet late in life, and you can't say, wow, I didn't even have this friendship 20 years ago, but look how valuable it is to me. That is what is on the other side of our inability to actually talk to people about Jesus. It's the power of the testimony and how he had mercy on you. And guess what? He stopped whining after he heard that. The former demoniac, shut up. Next thing we hear is, and he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. That's our job. That's my job. That's your job. Because you know what Revelation says. They overcame Satan by the word of their testimony, the blood of the Lamb, and they were not afraid unto death. I put that little X there because if I was running out of time, this would be a great place to stop. But I got the sense, actually, when I was praying early this morning and when I was in the early morning service with you guys, as well as now, that God had something else he really wanted to say. And it's uncomfortable for me to say it, but guess what? I'm going to get judged on a few things. And like Theo gave a nice resuscitation in some of the things in my life, but you know what? When I see the Lord, I don't think he cares about whether I went to Harvard or not. I know he doesn't. But he definitely is going to care about what type of husband I was and what type of father I was. He's not going to care whether or not Sergio and I were successful in taking over the travel business globally. Not going to care. But he's very much going to care how I protected Maya, my daughter, through prayer and supplication and infusion of the word. And whether or not I glorified my wife in terms of her being an extension of me, I got to know what his priorities are. And one of the things that I think he cares immensely about is the power of this testimony and actually whether or not our testimony is compromised, because it's such a powerful tool in the arsenal that he's given us to overcome Satan. Let's go to the next slide, Jenny. But before we get to that, let's talk about our dazzling reward. Because I think it is dazzling, because it's God himself. Let's hear how he puts it. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. That is unparalleled. God living amongst us. His goal for us. That's what we're going toward. And indeed, for those of you who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and are following the direction of the Holy Spirit, you are already beginning to walk in that. Because remember, Jesus says, I come at the door and knock, and anyone who opens, I will come in and sup with him and the Father, and then the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It starts now in these bodies. But he's talking about a fuller consummation of that. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. You know, in the Greek alphabet, Alpha is the beginning, like A through Z. So he's everything. The beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of water. And here's the part that I don't like, and I suspect you won't like, but it's part of the deal. He who overcomes, will inherit all this. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. Let's stay there for a minute. Overcoming. Overcoming. The word itself makes you sigh, makes me sigh. It means there's going to be challenges that I have to face, and not just face them in defeat, but in victory. I'm going to have to overcome, get over them. Otherwise, I'm not going to have this inheritance. There's a conditionality here. And one thing about being a volunteer minister, I'm a volunteer. I don't get paid, so I can tell you everything that you don't want to hear. And I don't want to hear either. But let's go on, because this really is important. I'm trying to add some levity to it. What we have to overcome. Sin neutralizes our testimonies, people. It takes the saltiness out of salt. Here's what he says. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, any sex outside of marriage, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, guess what? We don't inherit. I didn't say it. He did. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This will be the second death. Cowardly. You wouldn't have thought that would be the first thing you would say. But then again, as you read scripture, he says, look, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. So when we do the altar call, I'm not going to say, close your eyes. Because if you can't stand up now, he's saying, guess what? I'm going to be ashamed of you in front of the heavenly host. Why don't we talk about our loving Savior, King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Now, you know, okay, I hate to put it this way, but if you have a friend and he's sitting around and everybody's trashing his name and he doesn't even speak up for you, am I the only one that feels that way? You have a good friend who you have really done everything for. You've gone out for this person. And now he's sitting around with people who aren't even really his friends, so to speak. And he's trashing, he's letting them just trash your name. You know when you grab him, you can say, you coward, you sorry, so-and-so. How come you didn't even speak up? And guess what? You didn't die for that person. And Jesus died for me, Jesus died for you. And how often do we sit and just let people say whatever they want? And we just sit there. The cowardly. The unbelieving. Remember that unbelief was the thing that kept people blind. Remember that? They were blind. The God of this age blinded them. But he had the permission to blind them because they were unbelieving. The vile. The murderous. The sexually immoral. Oh, we don't want to talk about that. I don't. But it's there. You know what? My body's not my own. I was bought for a price. You know, if you listen to everybody else in terms of this culture, you know what? It's my body. I can do what I want with it. No, it's not. Never was your body. It's bought for a price. I don't like it. It's the word. That's one of the underpinnings of abortion. Well, it's my body. I'll get rid of it. You see, it's easy to see an illustration like that. We were bought for a price. Guess what? He designed us to be what? The temple of the living God. That's what the spec is. That's a specification. That's what he designed us for. So anything you do outside of that, there's a legal term, ultra vires. It's beyond what you have a right to do. Magic arts. What about those horoscopes? Scorpio. Sun rising in Libra, 13th house in Pisces, whatever. Start moving in that direction. Those are entrapments of the enemy. Idolaters. Okay, I'm using myself. I told Sergio this. The Lord told me, so you know what? Yes, Harvard's so great. What can it do for you? Let's see it get you off that sick bit. Let's see it help you repair your marriage. He's not going to tolerate that, and you weren't designed for it. In all lives. Let the Holy Spirit use this time as a time of self-examination so he can pinpoint anything that you may have that separates you from God. Because you know what? When I was 25, I think there was more time than there is now. Things seem to be accelerating in terms of the spirit world. And even if not, there's no telling what day will be your last day. And guess what? Like I may have said before, if Jesus did one sin, that sacrifice would have been null and void. Sin has to be paid for. Because the next slide is really an interesting one. Go ahead. Time of warning, repentance and rededication, Hebrews. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment. And the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. We're in the category of adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. There's an amazing consistency between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There never was a sacrifice for people who knowingly transgressed. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God? We're in heavy seas now. And has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified. And insulted the Spirit of grace. write that down and read it in the privacy of your home and weep just like I had to. I'm not trying to be funny. 1 ounce, one drop of Jesus' blood can obliterate Satan's empire. And it has. You have to remember Satan was a created being. You have to remember that. He's not a god. He says he's a god. But he's created. And by definition, you can't be a god if you're created. Okay? And this is the blood of this amazing person, Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who would have come and indeed come in his contemplation for just me or just you to shed that blood, to pay that sin, to endure that humiliation and rejection, to clean you up, to buy you back. And he says, who are we to trample that? By a decision to continue sinning. People of God, warnings are signs of love. If I have a daughter and she's riding a bicycle on a slippery path that's going to go to a cliff, I would be remiss not to say, get off the bike. Get over here. God loves you. There's no one else who died for you and did everything for you that he did. He has credibility to tell you when you're in danger, in time for you to correct it. And it is a well of grace to correct it. He doesn't leave you in it alone. Okay? So if the shoe is fitting, get corrected while there's time. That's mercy. Because he cannot make exceptions for any of us. He can't. His throne is on righteousness and justice. If he makes an exception for you, he has to make exception for Satan, and that's not going to work. And he paid for it. So my brothers and sisters, let's pray. We have a lot to pray for and a lot to be thankful for. That this God who, for some reason that's never defined in Scripture, loves us. He never tells us why. Never says it. But he does. And it's not lip service. He demonstrated it in his and how he was humiliated on the cross for us and bled and paid for that sin because nobody else could do it. He broke the head of our most bitter foe, Satan. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, you are going to come and be my body and my wife. I'm going away, but I'm going to leave you a comforter, a helper, who's going to step you through a prescribed set of challenges that I have personally authorized for you to encounter through love, because I know where I want you to be. And what I want you to be able to do with me in eternity. So hold on. It's a training ground. One peppered with love. And for every challenge, I'm there with you. Big and small. And I have promised to collect every tear that you shed. But you're in a war now. And I'm not going to have you taken out. Because I'm going to tell you what's coming. I'm going to tell you to be ready. And I'm going to tell you how to get ready. But I can't over, and I will not overcome your free will. I'm not going to be driving you. I'm going to be leading you with cords of love. And you can say no. But I don't want you to say no. But you can. But what you have to grab is the prize that is being offered. And that prize is no less than me, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you don't understand that, you know, in some ways, you really don't deserve me. If you can't put off and trust that the things I warn you about are for your good, then really, you know, we have a fundamental problem in this relationship. Because I'm faithful and true. And I've proven myself to you. Now follow me.
So Lord, we're going to pray that we can hear you, that we take no offense in the words that you send us, because they're measured in love, that we hear you, and where necessary, we repent, that we take out the blinders that have been put on us by unbelief, by our foe, and immerse ourselves in your word and the love that you have for us, so that we can indeed walk out the destiny that you have while we're in these bodies and in eternity. Lord, show us who we need to be praying for so that they can come in and join us and be with us in the great mansion that you have for us, where we each will be living stones connected to each other and enjoying your companionship forever. Are there any people here who have not or have been deceived to thinking that Satan was stronger than God, and now recognize that you need a Savior because you are trapped in the clutches of an enemy who only wants to destroy you? Like I said, I'm not going to ask everybody to close their eyes, because this is a prelude of eternity. If you have not decided for this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, here is a chance that you may not have again. You need to boldly stand up and come forward. And as you make every step, count the cost, because he's going to call you to do things that must be responded to by faith as he empowers you. If there are those of us who, like I, have lost our way and have really insulted God and the Spirit of grace, the reason why we have a message like this, I believe, is because it's not too late. The well of mercy is deep, and you're still living and breathing, and you have the ability to repent and rededicate yourself to the one who never stopped dedicating himself to you. Thank you, people of God. May you be blessed. May you remember how deeply he loves you. May you dive into his word to be refreshed, rejuvenated, encouraged, and energized at what great promise he has for you. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Yes, Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for this word, Lord, this really challenging word, Father. But we thank you for your love, Lord God, that we can understand it's because you love us, Lord. That, Lord, just for that direction again, to bring us back, Lord, to the fear of God, Lord. Not to fear man, Lord, but to fear God. And Lord, I just want to speak your blessing over Michael, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Thank you for his boldness, Lord. Thank you for the character that this man has, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, I just want to pray, Lord God, that we will not be like in the days of Noah, Lord, where the ark is ready and we continue in getting married and having supper and lunch and continuing our way, and then suddenly the door closes and then it's too late. Father, that when we have time, that we get onto the boat in Jesus' name. Father, I want to speak a blessing over every person here. I want to ask you to bless them, to keep them, Lord. But Father, that you will speak to them, Lord, that they will see who you are, Lord, who you truly are, Lord. A massive God that loves us, his children. And Father, I pray, Lord, even for the gift of the sermon, Lord, that we will see what darkness is doing to us, that darkness is killing us, it's destroying us, Lord, but you came to give us life, Lord, and life in abundance. Father, as Lynette and I went to this lady that tests our blood, and you say in your word that life is in the blood, that there was things that we're eating that is slowly destroying us. Sometimes when you see these things, you get the fright of God, but you realize that if you change now, you don't have to in 10 or 15 years sit with a blood disease or a blood sickness or psychosickness or heart disease or whatever the case might be, or cancer. You can change it now while you have the chance. That some people, they hear that they have cancer and 2-3 weeks later they die, because they've never took the time to go to someone that can test their blood to see and to tell them where they're going. And many times someone give you a test and you see and you have the choice to make a change and say, either today I change or I continue the way I am, but I will die the way I go, die in agony because of cancer or whatever the case might be. Father, I pray, Lord, just for that place again, that we'll understand that a message like this comes to show us where we're going, where we're destined to, and not to frighten us, but to actually put the fear of God in our lives, in the name of Jesus. And I just want to, on that, maybe you are here tonight and you know that you've been walking a road and you need to turn around from that. That you do respond and just come forward and just say, look, it's me. That you don't care about what people are thinking of you, but just respond on the word of God and just come forward. Don't care, don't worry about what people are saying, but just respond to the word of God. If there's anyone that needs to respond, come now or don't come. Amen. For the rest of you, you may be, you can have some coffee with us. May God bless you. Hallelujah.